On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, we're celebrating IU's national championship victory over Miami Monday night. We'll hear from Kurt Cignetti and Fernando Mendoza following the first title in program history. Then Victoria Jacobson drops by to discuss girls' wrestling state finals and catch up on local basketball. I'll close with notes on the Comets, the NFL playoffs, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. The Indiana Hoosiers wrote the final chapter of a remarkable season Monday night, beating the Miami Hurricanes 27-21 in the college football championship game. It capped off a remarkable two-year turnaround from the bottom of the Big Ten to the number one team in the nation. As head coach Kurt Cignetti says, it's the thing of legend.
National champions at Indiana University, which I know a lot of people thought was never possible. It probably is one of the greatest sports stories of all time.
A storybook season from quarterback Fernando Mendoza played a big role in making it possible. The Heisman Trophy winner threw for less than 200 yards Monday, but a gutsy 12-yard touchdown run on a quarterback draw in the fourth quarter gave the Hoosiers a 10-point lead. Cignetti had nothing but praise for the quarterback that he lured from Cal.
He has the heart of a lion when it comes to competition. I mean, that guy competes like a warrior, and, he got really smacked a few times in this game.
Indiana became the first team to go 16-0 in the modern era. Fans celebrating their team's triumph over Miami in the national championship game took to Kirkwood Avenue Monday night. WFIU's Ethan Sandweiss tells us that local officials say celebrations were rowdy, but ultimately benign.
Police say a few street signs were stolen, revelers burned some couches, and a car crashed into the back of the village deli. A small tree was also destroyed at the northwest corner of Kirkwood and Dunn. Bloomington police arrested one intoxicated driver, and IUPD arrested three people for alcohol-related charges. On the whole, though, damage was minimal. Director of Bloomington Sanitation Department Lazarus Sears says his team started cleaning the afternoon before the game and spoke highly of students waiting in line at the bars.
They were all saying thank you, thank you for your service, and I just want to say we're proud to have this university here, and such a great group of kids.
Aside from some confetti and stray beer cans, by Tuesday morning, downtown was cleaned up. For WFIU News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.
Mendoza says he saw the videos of Kirkwood Avenue from Monday nights.
And you couldn't even see the street. There's so many people. It was like a flood. And so I think that just epitomizes the Hoosier spirit and foreshadows the many long celebrations that they're going to be.
IU will have a formal championship celebration Saturday afternoon at 1. Details haven't been released just yet. Cignetti has been in Houston, where he received the Bear Bryant Award for College Football's Coach of the Year on Wednesday. Eventually, he says there will be some downtime.
Take a little vacation in February, go down to some nice hot weather island for about a week. And then when I come back, I'll figure out a few film projects that I think might fit next year's team.
And if you're already wondering about the Hoosiers' 2026 schedule, they'll begin their title defense against North Texas on Saturday, September 5th. And now I'm joined by Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
You and I had our fair share of discussions about the college football season off mic. And one thing I want listeners to know is that you had Miami's number all year long.
First off, I hate those guys. There are very few teams year in and year out that I have as little respect for as Miami. That is a personal bias. However, it feels good to be right. So all year, I was aware of how good their lines were. And in fairness, that was pretty true in the national championship game. And of course, they do have some athletes that are truly extraordinary. Malachi Toney. I mean, like, I don't really have an answer for what you're supposed to do. I don't know. If you have the means, I highly recommend picking one up. But the entire time from the very, well, actually from when they were constructing this roster at the beginning of the season to Monday, I've said a couple things. Number one, Carson Beck has played in a ton of big games. Carson Beck has also cost his team big time in a lot of key situations. You don't want a quarterback who you can't trust. Number two, he'd done pretty well actually throughout the playoff run, but Mario Cristobal is known for making questionable decisions from a game management point of view.
I always think about the victory formation situation.
Strange behavior. It's very rare that I can say genuinely, I think I would have done something different if I were the head coach of a Division I college team or an NFL team, and be right about it. I can think of that happening maybe like three times in my life. Yeah, Mario Cristobal
strikes again.
He's one of the three. Let me put it that way. And number three, this is a team that gets really damaging penalties. And all three of those reared their ugly heads against Indiana. And when you are a team that has incredible talent, but then has really bozo moments, it's going to be really, really hard for you to beat a team whose calling card coming into the game through the first 15 games of the season was not making mistakes and capitalizing on other people's mistakes. And that's what happened. So, oh, it felt good to be right.
Let's circle back to your beat. Girls wrestling state finals are in the books. You were down there last week to take everything in. How did our local schools fare?
Yes. So it is kind of interesting because this is only the second year that the IHSAA has been the organizing body for the girls wrestling state tournament. And what's really interesting is the numbers of participants in the sport across the state is exploding, has been for a couple years now. And that means that year over year, it's the same number of girls making it to the state finals because that's how the brackets work, but the field is deeper. Many of these athletes are more experienced. And so it's a little bit harder every year for one person to go in and make their mark. The school that really had the best day was Garrett. The Railroaders only had three girls qualify for the state finals this year, but all three of them finished in the top three of their respective weight classes. So everyone went in and did their part. Nevaeh Wilson, she made it to the championship final. Unfortunately, she met her match in the 130 final, and she lost to Northwood's Anema Gafar by a 10-5 decision. Just a tough break for her there. She said it's probably her last match ever because she's a senior, but a really, really special career, finishing second overall in her final tournament. And then her teammates, freshman Maya Hammond and junior Reagan Cherney, they each placed third. They lost in the semifinals, came back, rebounded from that disappointment, and came back and won their third place matches. So that's pretty exciting. We also had two fourth place finishers, Huntington North's Aubrey Troutner, and then New Haven's Isabella Campo. She actually was injured in the semifinal, so didn't get to wrestle in her third place match, but both ended up taking fourth overall.
On the basketball court, you caught a thriller between number 3 Homestead and number 1 Warsaw the other night. How did that one shake out?
Yeah, so coming in, we knew that this was going to be the big one. It's pretty much the non-conference game of the year for both of our teams because they're kind of local. A lot of the players know each other. This has been a really tough fought game that they've played for a number of years now, usually on this week of the season. Homestead came in with Maya Epps. Maya Epps is coming off an IBCA Player of the Week performance against Snyder, where she scored a career-high 42 points. So we have that in one corner. On the other corner, Warsaw had only lost one game all season. They had a 29-game home winning streak going that dates back to January 2024. They had their own eye-popping stats. As a team, they had been shooting 49% from three over the last 14 games coming into this one. And Jocelyn Bricker, like Maya Epps, a Miss Basketball candidate, has been shooting 54% from three over the course of the season. So this is what we're talking about. These are the heavy hitters coming in. Jocelyn Bricker scored 26 points in the first half. And Homestead was still up 32-30 at halftime. It kind of felt like, oh, nobody can miss at certain points in this game. And then in the second half, Homestead made a couple defensive adjustments. They switched some things up. They held Bricker to just 5 points in the second half. So she finished. She only finished with 31 in a 32-minute game. And Homestead got off to a little bit of a run to start the second half. So they built themselves an 11-point lead coming out of the half. Warsaw was competitive from there on out, but never really got it back to a two-possession game. And so Homestead comes away with this win, 66-52. Number three takes down number one. That Warsaw home win streak at the Tiger Den is kaput. So yeah, it's a really, really big win for Homestead as we head into like the final week and a half of the regular season. Warsaw and Homestead will not face each other super early in the state tournament, assuming they both win out. But this might be a game that we see again later.
Meanwhile, Norwell has continued to stay hot. It doesn't look like they can lose in any eight matchups.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. Last year was obviously a huge year for Norwell. The Knights won their first state title ever, finished a 23-6 season. But one thing that does have to be noted is that they didn't win the NEA title last year. They actually lost to both Columbia City and Belmont. You might remember Columbia City had Addison Baxter last year, who is now contributing at Butler. But knocked off Columbia City back in December, I believe. And then on this past Saturday, Norwell hosted Belmont for kind of a, this one takes all the marbles. There's still a couple NEA games left, but these were the two that were both undefeated in conference play heading into this game. Norwell won this one, officially got revenge, and won 52-42. There were some close moments, actually fell behind a little bit in the second quarter. Coach Eric Thornton called timeout. Norwell hit a three coming right out of that timeout and then kind of rolled from there. Things got a little bit sticky in the fourth quarter as well, but it's one of those just got to battle through it, make your free throws, and that's what happened. So Norwell is in good position to grab an NEA title before they head into the 4A playoffs because, again, they have moved up a classification, so it's going to be a very different challenge for Norwell in the state tournament this year.
And listeners who caught the NFC playoff game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Chicago Bears probably noticed a few mentions of Warsaw, Indiana, because the hero of that game was Rams kicker Harrison Mevis. He got the game-winning field goal against the Bears. And one of the first things I thought of was, does Vicky know this kid?
Do I know of this kid? Absolutely. So Harrison Mevis was not here in Fort Wayne, but over in Warsaw. He played both football and soccer, and this was in the years right when I got here. He was all-conference and all-state for the Tigers as a senior, and they were 9-3 and won a 6A regional. That was before he went on to Missouri and made a name for himself there. The name, maybe you've heard of it, is the Thicker Kicker. If you've seen him, you've seen him, and you know him. And he is very recognizable. So it is really fun to see him thriving and, yeah, making some noise. Maybe not so much fun if you're a Bears fan. But for the rest of us, I certainly enjoyed that. And it was one of those things where it's like, well, we've got to make sure we work that into the article that we're getting off the wire, add a little bit of a local touch for our Warsaw guy.
The Thicker Kicker, number 92, built like a fullback, was the hero in that playoff game. Victoria Jacobson is covering the whole spectrum of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Comets split their weekend set against the Bloomington Bison, losing Saturday's matchup 5-2, but picking up Sunday's with a 3-2 victory. That gives them 44 points on the year towards a 19-10-6-0 record, still good enough for second place in the ECHL Central Division. We're nearing the end of the All-Star break, which means the Comets are back in action on Friday. They've got four games in a row on the road, but you might recall they spent the first 5 weeks of this season away from home ice and did pretty well. They'll look to recapture that energy down in Indianapolis with face-off at 7 Friday night. After that, they're in Cincinnati Saturday with a 4-10 puck drop. Then they'll travel to Wheeling Sunday. That also starts at 4. We now have our NFL Championship matchups. The Rams will head to Seattle to face the Seahawks in a really exciting NFC West rivalry game. You might recall a Thursday night game towards the end of the year the Seahawks won on a risky two-point conversion in the final seconds. If anyone is suited to succeed in a revenge game, it's Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, and the Rams. Over in the AFC, we'll see the Broncos and Patriots, which to me is far less interesting, especially after Denver lost Bo Nix for the remainder of the year to an ankle injury. Jared Stidham will instead start. No reason the Patriots should lose that game. I will say we're far enough removed from the Belichick era for me to not hate the idea of them going back to the Super Bowl. Drake May is an awful lot of fun to watch. Both the AFC and NFC championship games will take place on Sunday. The Pacers' up and down season continues. Last week I said they hadn't lost a game since we last spoke, and since last week they haven't won a game. It's to be expected at this point. We're beyond the halfway point of the year and the Pacers sit at a 10-34 record. They'll get a national game on Amazon Friday night on the road in an NBA Finals rematch against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That one tips off at 8. Then they're in Atlanta Monday to face the Hawks before coming home to host the Bulls on Wednesday. Purdue men's basketball suffered their second loss of the season in a tough one on the road against UCLA. They're still ranked 4th overall in the nation and will take on number 11 Illinois in a great Big Ten showdown Saturday at 3. Then on Tuesday, big rivalry game against the Hoosiers in Bloomington. Tip off for that one is at 9 that night. And in baseball, spring training begins in a month. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.